Good morning, Pathways. I am so happy that to be with you this morning and be able to share. Isn't that funny, that little video? Not to make light of worry. People are worried right now. There are things going on. But that's the thing. Worry always takes us to a negative place. Our minds just naturally spiral downward when we start to ruminate on things. And right now with the coronavirus and all the other things going on, every scenario ends in some apocalyptic, we will all die by the coronavirus. But be at peace. I don't believe that that is what God has for us. I believe that God is still in control, and I'm here this morning to remind you of that very thing. You know, peace of mind is something that we all want. We all want to be able to rest, not have to worry, to feel free to enjoy life and friends and family and church and hobbies and entertainment and et cetera. And we want to be able to enjoy ourselves and not be burdened down with worry, because worry robs us of vigor and life and purpose. But sometimes circumstances we feel don't allow us to have peace of mind. And when we don't have peace of mind, then we can get depressed, and then we can get angry, and we can lash out at God and the people that you are in lockdown with at your house. So this morning, we're going to talk for a few minutes on what do you do to get peace? I mean, real peace in your life. Where do you start? What do you do? So I believe the best place to start is with God. And so I'd like for you to turn with me to Philippians 4, 6 through 9. And I am reading from the New American Standard Version. And the record reads as following: be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. You know, God wants us to have, he wants me, you, all of us to have true peace, and he does not want you to have to worry about anything. He wants us to be able to think. Have you ever thought about worry as a sin? You know, that's kind of stark, and that's kind of, you know, maybe a new thought to think. But worry is actually a sin. And the reason that I say that is because it means that you're not trusting in God. God says in verse 6, do not be anxious for anything. And that means don't worry. The word anxious in the Greek here means to be troubled with cares. He hasn't given you that command without you being able to carry it out, you know. If you remember back in Mark 3, Jesus was addressing a man with a withered hand. And even though the man could not, he still tried to obey Jesus when he said, stretch forth your hand. And the man did, and he was healed. Because the Holy Spirit lives in you, you're able to live by faith and not worry no matter whatever happens. Because the Spirit empowers you to be faithful, to trust, to yield to the Lord's will. And with the Spirit, you're able to trust God beyond your ability to know what will happen in your life. Remember Matthew 6, 25, 27, and then again in 31. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is your life not more than food, and the body more important than clothes? Who are you, by worry, can add a single hair to his life? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run around after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself, and each day has enough trouble of its own. God doesn't want you to worry, because worry means you're not trusting in him and that you're not taking him fully at his word. Family, I want you to remember that God is sovereign. He is in control. You know, sometimes I think we've heard that so many times, it almost becomes a meaningless cliche to us. But forgetting the truth of it allows fear to master us. And we disappear behind a wave of dark uncertainty. And that's already sweeping around our world. As God's children, he wants us to be able to not only have his peace, but he wants us to be able to give that peace to others as well. So we have to exchange that uncertainty that the world is feeling for the confidence in God's sovereignty. Each moment, every time there's an unsettling development, with every new surge of information, with every new case of being reported on the news, I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to whisper to your fearful heart, God is in charge. Not COVID-19, not the CDC, but God. And remember, God's been providing for you all along. All you have to do is look at the cross. The second thing I want to remind you of this morning is God wants you to have true peace by praying about everything. That's what he wants you to do. In verse 6, it says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Family, all of the things in your life are a concern to God, the big and the small. He knows your heart. He knows the pressure that you're feeling right now. He understands that you're worried about finances. He understands that you're not working. He understands that you have children at home that you have to organize and try to educate. He knows that you are working and you're out here on the front lines, some of you putting your own health and circumstances and family at risk. He knows. And he's concerned. But God's peace can guard you and strengthen you. Because of the cross, you have access directly to the throne of God. And with that, it says, with thanksgiving. Because of the cross, the proof of God's faithfulness, in his presence, we can find peace. So during this time, I encourage you to pray for our leaders and pray for the sick. Pray for our healthcare workers and give thanks for those who are on the front lines trying to fill the grocery stores and stay ahead of all the need. to the pharmacists who are trying to fill prescriptions and be calm. And you know what? The secret to all of that is, family, when you pray, when you concentrate on others, when you lift your petitions up to Him, when you don't have yourself as the center, it gives you peace. The third thing I want to remind you of this morning is God wants you to have true peace by meditating on what is holy. God wants you to fill your mind with what's good. Philippians 4:8 says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, right, pure, lovely, of good repute, excellent, worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. You know, I think right now, especially now, we have to be very selective about what we fill our minds with. I think we have to be very selective about our sources of information. If we're not, we can become, if you will, the source of fear ourselves. And that's not what we're called to be as Christians. I want to encourage you to balance the attention that you're giving to news reports with the time that you're spending in God's Word and with the time that you spend on good news. And if you're a person, and I want to be careful how I say this, and I want to be sensitive to how I say this, but if you're a person who's particularly prone to anxiety, I would even encourage you to turn off the news and maybe get your reports through friends. Or you can do like I do and get your reports through comedy shows. Fill your mind with what is good. And there's a lot of good that's going on in the world. Yes, we have people who are not rising to the occasion, if you will, but we also have people who are soaring. We have people who are out and giving, and we have people who are continuing to live generously and who are on the front lines of this. Tell you a quick story. This week I saw on the news, and I don't know that this is still happening, so please don't overrun this business with with phone calls. But there was a restaurant in D.C. this week that was delivering meals to senior citizens. And now I'm not talking about just a little meal. This was a 16-ounce steak dinner with all the trimmings, with salad, with apple pie, with all of the things that would make up a steak dinner. So when I saw it, I said, you know, my mom lives alone, and I'm concerned about her, and so I think I'm going to surprise her, and I'll see if this restaurant will deliver a meal to her. So I put her name on the list, sent an email to the chef, and they did. My mother, the steak was so large, it was two or three meals for her. Now, she doesn't eat a lot, but it was two or three meals for her, and I just really sat and thought about that. I mean, in a time where this man's restaurant is closing, and once we open back up, I'll give you the name of the restaurant so we can all go and support this man. At a time where he's losing revenue, he's still, and not a Christian, is living generously and living for others. And was able to deliver a meal to my mom. Anybody who knows my mom knows Dorothy, knows me, knows Dorothy. And that really blessed me, and that was very special. So there are people who are going above and beyond. So, I just wanted to share that little story with you, that as we meditate on what is happening, there's a lot of good happening in the world. I would even suggest that you go outside, stand on your porch for a minute. It's a beautiful day today. Spring is coming. The sun's up. Flowers are blooming, or beginning to anyway. God is still in control, and he's worthy of our praise. And there's a lot of good to meditate on. The next thing that I would tell you is that God wants you to have true peace by putting into practice what you've learned. He wants you to trust him for everything. Don't be anxious. He wants you to pray to him about everything. And he wants you to meditate on what is good. As I close up our little time together, I just want to remind you of two quick things. During this time, I would really ask you, family, to be very careful to watch your thoughts and watch your words. There are people who are afraid. And that's okay. It's going to happen. People are afraid. And if I were to be really honest with you, I would say that prayer and worship just won't whisk it away automatically. Nor will pretending that it doesn't exist. But as followers of Christ, we have to guard our words. There's always someone listening. Even when we think that we're alone, we hear what we say to ourselves. And it has a dramatic impact. When you chat this week to your family and friends, I want you to think about how you're talking. Are you talking about how threatening COVID-19 is? Or are you talking about how mighty God is? We become peace bearers when we speak hope into fearful hearts, including our own. The Bible is full of "but God" statements. Ephesians 2, 1 through 6. We can use two simple words to saturate our speech this week with faith. When you hear someone say, you know, there's so many people who are sick, you could say, but God is our healer. No one knows what to do or where to turn. Ah, but God is our shepherd. The world is reeling with uncertainty. But God is our peace. The truth is, family, today is no different than a month ago. We never knew. We never know what's going to happen. We're not made or designed to know what will happen. Only God knows what will happen. But what we do know this morning is today is the day that the Lord has made. What we do know that the sun is shining. And what we do know is that we have community. Although it looks a little different this morning, we're still together. Last thing I'd like to say is make good use of your time. With schools and businesses closing, many of us find that our schedules have abruptly slowed down and have been simplified. And you know what? That's a blessing. We are so accustomed to ripping and running and racing from place to place. Gotta be here, gotta do this, gotta do that. We don't even know what to do without living in that kind of fast-paced life. So now we go all the way to the opposite side and we turn on the TV to try to find some escapism. And we're binge watching and trying to catch up on all the TV shows that we haven't watched. And we want to try to lose ourselves in mindless diversions and try not to panic. But something that I discovered probably a long time ago, but I'm reminded of it now, is that using those type of diversions from stress are temporary at best. The moment you stop the movie or pause the game, the worry's gonna swamp back. And this is true for everyone. Now, I'm not saying that entertainment is a bad thing. It's good, it's why it's there. This is a time to be able to enjoy some of the things that we have not been able to enjoy. But it's not good if you're using it to bury your head in the sand, so you don't have to deal with the circumstances that are around. You know, avoidance is actually a natural first response. But instead of burying your head in TV or in whatever other thing that you do, gaming, whatever, I would like to exhort you this week to use that extra time and that extra space to do some constructive things, either by yourself or the other people in your household, involve them too. You know, we were made for community. The only time that God said that it's not good when he created the universe is when he looked around and saw that Adam was alone. We were created to be together. So like I said, it may look a little different right now, but praise God, we live in an age of technological advance that is, it's incredible. We're able to group chat, we are able to conference call, we're even able to make a telephone call. Imagine that, actually picking up a device and actually speaking to someone in it. So this week, I would exhort you to go back into maybe some of the simpler things. Maybe a family board night, board games. Remember those? Monopoly, cards, checkers. Maybe you should pick up a hobby you haven't picked up in a long time. I actually was cleaning up and found a crochet hook. I hadn't seen that thing in years. I don't even know if I know how to remember to use it, but guess what? In this day and age of technology, I all but Google and I can figure out how to use my crochet hook. I've been teaching my kids how to cook. And everybody thinks, oh, well, you're a chef, that's easy. No, it's not. Maybe art's your thing. Hey, I've got a challenge, I just thought of this. What if you stand on your porch this week and take a picture of something outside that reminds you that God is still in control, something life-giving. Maybe it's a picture of a flower. Maybe it's a picture of the birds. And then post it online. And maybe we'll even have a contest to see who posts the best picture that shows how God is still in control during all this time. Another thing I would ask you is to please, please, please reach out to people who live alone. I have talked to Dorothy more this week than I have talked to her in a long time. And that's okay. I won't tell you how old she is because she'd kill me if I did, but she lives alone. And I worry about that. And I know that, okay, I don't worry about that because worry is sin. I think about that. Call your neighbors. Reach out to somebody you haven't talked to in a long time. Reach out to a relative in a nursing home. Reach out to your best friend from college. Reach out. And if all of that fails, channel some of that nervous energy and clean up your house. I have spent the past few days cleaning out cabinets, cleaning out all of my plastic containers. Pastor Paula seems to have a problem with plastic containers. I have a million of them. So I have finally gotten rid of all the containers that don't have lids on them. I mean, it's not exciting, but I was very proud of my clean cabinet when that was over. Clean out your spice rack. I bet you have spices that are out of date and don't even have a smell anymore. Throw those away, please. There's plenty to be doing during this time. Being active and productive goes a long way, and that'll help you settle some of the uneasiness that you're feeling. And if all of that fails, and if your house is already clean, then put a bandana over your mouth and nose. You can come over to my house and help clean up. That would be fantastic. God said that these things were written. He wrote Philippians for such a time as this. I mean, how cool is that? We could have been studying any book of the Bible, but today, He has us on be anxious for nothing. Open your eyes, family. That's God's provision for us. Ultimately, He wants you to experience His peace. He wants His word to dwell deeply within you. He wants you to be holy. He wants you to think rightly during this time. He wants you to trust. So, the memory verse for this week, I'm going to challenge you the next time I see you, and my prayer is that it's going to be very soon, is Philippians 4, verse 6. And it reads as following: Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Know that we are praying for you, that we love you, and if you have a need, let us know.